Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the March 12, 2015 regular board meeting of the Board of Trustees of Northern Illinois University. I'm John Butler, and I chair the Board of Trustees. I'm joined here with my colleagues, and we welcome you and thank you for coming. The first order of business is to call the roll. Ms. Here. Odom?
Trustee Robert Boy.
Again, here.
Here. Trustee Wheeler Coleman. Not here. Trustee Anthony Iasco.
Here.
Trustee Robert Marshall.
Here.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Here.
Vice Chair Mark Strauss.
Here.
Student Trustee Paul Julian.
Here.
And Board Chair John Butler.
I'm here. Mr. Brady from the Office of the General Counsel is here to serve as our parliamentarian. Mr. Blakemore will be joining us soon. Mr. Brady, can you verify that an appropriate notification of this meeting has been posted and that we have a quorum?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Appropriate notices have been posted by the university, and we do have a quorum.
We now move to the approval of the agenda. I may have a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Mr. Chair.
There's a motion, and
In that case, I'll make a second.
A second.
And I'd also like to propose an amendment. I would propose that we move the closed session after item 7 in the published agenda, and that we also create a consent agenda to be heard after public comment that would contain agenda items 8A, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26, and items 8B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 to that consent agenda.
Okay, so we have an amendment to the motion. Do I ask for a second to the amendment? Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Second. All those in favor of the amendment to the agenda?
Aye.
I'm sorry, I should offer a chance for discussion on that. Any interest in discussing the proposed amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the amendment's been adopted, so now we're voting on the motion to approve the agenda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? The motion passes. The agenda is approved. Now we move to the review and approval of the minutes of December 12, 2014. May I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion, clarification of any kind that the trustees have with regard to these minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, the motion passes. The minutes from December 4th, 2014 are approved. This is the time in the agenda when I recognize members of the University Advisory Council who wish to address the board at this time. Mr. Pitney, do you have any comments?
Yes, please. On behalf of our shared governance bodies representing employee classifications here at NIU, we just wanted to express our thanks to President Baker for his memo dated March 11th that explained the university's opposition to proposed House Bill 403, which is the repeal of the university's 50% tuition waivers. So we're grateful for that, and thank you for moving our voices forward.
Do any other members of the UAC wish to address the board at this time?
We support Bill's comments.
Ms. Hallitzer and Mr. Montero say they support Mr. Pitney's, Dr. Pitney's comments. Thank you. This is the time when the chair makes comments. I just want to say, finally, the weather's nice. I believe that we're going to be okay, and we're not going to suffer from a significant cold spell again or a major snowfall. Now, I don't know that for a fact, but I think that's true. One of the most beautiful seasons for Northern, I think, is beginning, and I really am grateful that we are coming together as a community in response to the concerns that we have about the state budget, and I greatly appreciate all the work that everybody's doing in response to that. And I also, as I said earlier, am greatly appreciative of your interest in this meeting. Unfortunately, we're moving our closed session because there's some need for some members of the board to leave a bit earlier, and we want to make sure that we're able to get that closed session in. That means that we're going to interrupt this meeting, but I do believe we've got some technology on our side, and we'll be texting people. Is that true, Ms. Odom, telling them when we'll be coming back? So I'm sorry for the inconvenience. Typically, we would have the closed session at the end of the meeting so that we don't inconvenience you, but that's going to be slightly different today. The only other thing that I'll say, because I'll say more about this when I report on the Ad Hoc Committee on Governance, I'm very pleased today that the board is taking up for second reading three policies and I believe four changes to the board bylaws. This was an extraordinary amount of work that benefited from the cooperation and participation of many people, and I appreciate it greatly. So let us begin then by moving to the point in the meeting where we permit public comment. Mr. Brady, I won't ask because you've already given me two forms where there is interest in making public comment. So the way that this works is the people who are interested in making appearances before the board come a little bit early and they fill out a form and they tell us they want to say some things to the board, and that has happened. The board has a lot of business, obviously, to get to today. It is the chair's prerogative to put a time limitation on that comment. We also may have questions, and there may be some follow-up comments. And so altogether, I think that that warrants a time limit of about 3 minutes. I would ask that the first speaker come to the podium, and that's John Kraft.
Good morning. I would like to comment first on the chair's discretion. Your written and established and published rules say 5 minutes.
You want 5 minutes? You can have 5 minutes.
I don't need 5 minutes. I was just making a comment. I believe the person after me needs 5 minutes. What I'm here to talk about today is I submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the college asking on information about a person that is living in the dormitory. And I was informed that they've lived there approximately a whole year. They're not paying any rent. They're an employee of the college. It's been living there since February 3rd of 2014. The response stated, and I'm hoping you're going to, you know, address this later on. The response stated he's staying in an unused staff apartment. And I asked if he was paying rent, and the response was, well, you know, the staff apartment holds no value, therefore we don't collect any rent. And I'm asking, you know, if a 10 by 10 storage shed downtown holds value, I'm sure an apartment where you're providing electricity, you're providing water, presumably providing internet, cable TV, trash service. There's value there. And there's value in having a room to go to without having to pay rent downtown. I've got a copy of his W-2, and it appears that that is not being reported as benefits to the IRS, and I'm sure the IRS would consider that as value that should be reportable, and taxes should be paid. I'm asking you to address that issue and either leave the room empty or make him pay rent all the way back to February 3rd of 2014. If you want the name, I'll be glad to tell you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kraft. Do any trustees have any questions? Any board members, any questions for Mr. Kraft? Seeing none, Mr. Kirk Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The website had pointed out 5 minutes, and I would appreciate if I could have 5 minutes. I prepare my statements accordingly.
You may have 5 minutes.
Thank you, sir. My name is Kirk Allen. I'm the co-founder of the Edgar County Watchdogs. If you're not familiar with us, I would encourage you to research our most recent work with the College of DuPage. Our efforts are not political leanings, left or right, liberal or conservative. It's about right and wrong. History has proven to us that the larger the public body, the less compliance with the law. What you do with the information we present in the future affects the very foundation of our society. Will you be proactive and listen and fix, or will you take the common path we see and cover up the wrongdoing? I can assure you the latter will not work, and you don't have to take my word for it. In approximately the last 30 months, our work has attributed with 106 public officials either resigning or being removed from public office. Our work has been covered by Forbes, Huffington Post, NBC, Fox News, Illinois Review, Reboot Illinois, and many other media organizations on both political sides of the aisle. Approximately 95% of the time, our research into public bodies comes from cries for help from inside whistleblowers who know things are being done in violation of the laws and policies. We dig and expose wrongdoing from the top to the bottom, big and small, and of which I assure you, some of those matters are criminal. At the college level, the trustees are the ones responsible for ensuring compliance with that law or with those laws. You can look at us two ways: a free resource pointing out violations of policy and law that you can take hold of and use as the tools to fix what is broken, or you can take the advice of your administration, which will soon try to convince you we are some right-wing activist group trying to destroy the reputation of the school. The latter is the path President Bruder at COD tried. You can rest assured that's not worked out well for him. Illinois is a Dillon's Rule state. In short, you have the powers granted by statute. If you have an attorney telling you it's okay to do this or that because the law doesn't say you can't do it, get a new attorney. Although you may have the power to create rules and regulations on university property, those rules cannot be inconsistent with law. It is the opinion of your Office of General Counsel that there is no legal prohibition against the university allowing vehicles on sidewalks because the vehicle code does not include NIU. Using the explanation your attorney used in that opinion, we could claim that since the criminal code does not specifically spell out NIU, the criminal code doesn't apply. I don't think any board member will believe that. Yet this is the essence of that opinion. On another note, I ask that you review your public speaking policy, which is in direct violation of the Open Meetings Act, which, if you're not aware, violations of the Open Meeting Act is a Class C criminal misdemeanor. Your policy states to be recognized, the appearance request will include the name, address, position of the individual wishing to speak, the names of the organization or group represented, a concise summary of the presentation, and whether the requester has appeared earlier on the topic before any other meeting. Now, granted, you didn't make that requirement of me today, and I appreciate that. Your policy is what people look at when they go to on the website, and the first deterrent is that you have to be here 45 minutes in advance of the meeting to sign up. I refer you to Binding Opinion 2014, PAC 29739. Therefore, we conclude that requiring speakers to state their home address prior to addressing public bodies violates 2.06G of the OMA. Even if such rule is established and recorded, as we see here, it goes on to state if the board member established and recorded a rule requiring speakers to provide their home address prior to speaking, we would conclude that such a rule would impermissibly exceed the scope of the rulemaking contemplated by Section 2.06G. Binding Opinion 2014, PAC 30194, states public bodies may generally promulgate reasonable time, place, and manner regulations that are necessary to further a significant government interest. They also point out that the requiring speakers to formally make an appearance request in advance, in this opinion, to the county administrator, in writing with the subject matter imposes substantial obstacles for those who wish to speak at the board's meeting. They state the rules appear unreasonably restrictive to members of the public trying to exercise their statutory right to address the board. I ask that you amend your public comment policy to conform to the Open Meetings Act. Over the next several months, you will be receiving numerous FOIA requests. I would encourage full compliance, even if you know the records may expose criminal activity. In many cases, the records have already been obtained from other sources, and a FOIA denial for a record we know exists and have proof of is in fact a crime. I look forward to sharing numerous issues that need rectified, and I pray this board has the courage and strength to hold its administration and others accountable to the law. I also encourage that when criminal acts are exposed, you immediately request the state's attorney's office investigate, as that is the only way to send a message to stop such matters in this state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Do any members of the board have any questions for Mr. Allen? Yes, Trustee Muir.
I just have a comment, really, not a question. But I do want to acknowledge that as a private citizen, I do respect your sense of responsibility and your commitment to accountability.
Okay, my comment, Mr. Allen, will be that I will see that we will examine our policies with respect to making appearances before the board.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll move on then to reports of board committees and board liaisons. The executive committee did not meet, and so we will move to a report from the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee, which is chaired by Trustee Robert Marshall. Trustee Marshall, do you have a report?
Yes, thank you. At the February 26, 2015 meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee, we approved four items for forwarding to the board at its next regular meeting, which is today. Those items were the Nankai-Northern Illinois University International College. Secondly, a request for a new degree program for a Bachelor of Science in Hospitality and Tourism Management. Third, a request for a new degree program responding to ISBE changes in middle school level educator licensure. Recommendations for faculty and supportive professional staff sabbatical leaves for the 2015 through 2016 academic year were approved by the committee for forwarding also. There were three information items presented, including a faculty presentation on sabbatical leave, the sixth annual report on the outcomes of sabbatical leaves, and lastly, we heard a presentation on curricular diversity. I have a couple of comments, somewhat like the motion picture theaters advertising coming previews. I'd like to welcome additional input from my fellow trustees on several items that have been suggested as topics for this committee. Among those suggested topics are the quality of student life and interface between campus and the community at large, assessment of learning outcomes, oversight of Greek life, further development of the general education program, an update review of our 2+2 plan with community colleges, and possible action plans for increasing student retention by increasing extracurricular student activities. And I'll put a little IE after that, mentioning the Student Recreation Center as one of the items to look at. That would conclude my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Marshall. The Compliance Audit Risk Management and Legislative Affairs Committee is chaired by Trustee Robert Boy. Trustee Boy, do you have a report?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. I'm pleased to report the Compliance Audit Risk Management and Legal Affairs Committee, otherwise commonly known as the COW Committee, met on Thursday, February 26, 2015. The minutes of the November 6, 2014 COW Committee meeting were approved, and the proposed agenda, which included presentations by Sarah Cliff on property insurance valuation, Jim Guagliardo on gubernatorial, we will only say it once on this one here, changes on ethics expectations, and Michelle Danzer on the Enterprise Risk Management Initiative. Related materials for these presentations are included in the board book for the trustees' review and information. The next meeting of the COW Committee is scheduled for May 28, 2015. This concludes my report, Chair.
Thank you, Trustee Boy. The Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee is chaired by Trustee Mark Strauss. Trustee Strauss, may we have a report?
Finance, Facilities, and Operations Committee also met on February 26. There were 22 action items considered by the committee, each of which was endorsed and forwarded for consideration during today's meeting by the full board. Members of the committee were interested in the impact the expense items would have on both the FY 15 and 16 budgets and voiced a concern that we continue the effort to accelerate the process for the setting of a budget for each fiscal year before we consider approving expenditures for that year. Major items that may be of interest are the recommendations concerning the student health insurance fee and associated contract, a request for new artificial turf for Husky Stadium, the costs associated with the acquisition of Eiger Lab assets, and the FY16 Student Mass Transit Board campus busing system contract renewal. The FFOC committee is next scheduled to meet on May 28, 2015. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Strauss. The Legislative Affairs, Research, and Innovation Committee is chaired by Trustee Sherilyn Muir. Trustee Muir, may we have a report?
Thank you. At our February meeting, Mike Mann provided us with an update on the state's budget situation. Mike is in Springfield today, representing the interests of NIU. We were presented with the IBHE budget recommendations, the IBHE's public university capital priority list, and the governor's FY16 proposed budget, all of which can be found in the university report. We are all well aware that the governor is proposing a reduction in state funding for public universities. However, we have organized a very strong lobby to support the needs of NIU, led by President Baker and his team, who have and will continue to speak with the House and Senate Appropriations Committee and their staffs to make our case of retaining the funding to public universities. The Federal Relations Update item provided information on key legislation, including the Higher Education Act reauthorization, which we anticipate will be addressed in Congress at some point in the second half of 2015. In keeping with the structure of this committee, we try and have a topic-focused model. And Dr. Rena Kachonis discussed the launch of the NIU Eiger Lab Innovation Network and spent a considerable amount of our committee time really going over not only the vision but the implementation strategies as it relates to Eiger Lab, which is a Rockford-based business and incubator accelerator firm. Operating under the auspices of the Division of Research and Innovation Partnerships and the NIU Research Foundation, Eiger Lab is being rebranded as the NIU Eiger Lab Innovation Network. This is a very exciting endeavor for NIU. And it also brings together NIU and the Rockford community. So this is a very positive aspect the research that is being conducted at NIU and the commitment as a research university. Mr. Chair, I would like to take the opportunity to recognize Ray Alden because I believe this is his last full Board of Trustees meeting. And I'd like to recognize Ray for the work he's done in promoting research and innovation at NIU in his capacity both as provost and as in his present capacity heading the international division. So I'd like us as a board to recognize Ray's achievements here.
Chair, may I add a minute to this?
Sure.
I too want to thank Ray for the exemplary work he did on the international front. I mean, in lieu of all the discussions on budgeting, et cetera, that certainly having enrollment in the direction of the international front is a great help to the university, and you have done a wonderful job of literally starting from scratch, Ray. And our best wishes go with you, and we are sure that you whatever you do, you will be successful. Thank you again for all your help.
Thank you. Trustee Marshall.
Ray, I don't talk a lot, but something that I very rarely give, both of them. Thank you.
Thank you also, Ray. When I joined the board, shortly thereafter, I became chair of the Academic Affairs Committee, and we started working together, and it was a really good experience. I think you're an outstanding administrator, and I wish you luck in your future. Thank you. Any other comments? Thank you, Trustee Muir. The next two reports are from the board's ad hoc committees. The first is the Ad Hoc Committee on Enrollment, which is chaired by Trustee Mark Strauss. Trustee Strauss, may we have a report?
You may. The Ad Hoc Committee on Enrollment met on January 16. The charge to this committee was to look at areas where board-level action might be required in order to promote the development of a sustainable financial model by increasing enrollment. In this regard, the committee's plan of work included becoming familiar with data regarding tuition and financial aid, academic programming and related costs and quality, the system of reward and recognition, and capital commitments beyond presidential authority. At the first meeting of the committee in November 2014, there was a focus on enrollment and background trends, recruitment and retention efforts, and scholarship information. That meeting produced a number of requests for additional information. At the January 2015 meeting, information on financial aid packaging and scholarships was received, and there was discussion about the meaning of the data provided. Minutes of the January 2015 meeting have been distributed to all board members, together with copies of the information provided to the committee at that time. The committee is next scheduled to meet March 27, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. here in Altgeld Hall. At that time, Provost Freeman will lead a discussion of several topics related to the academic issues impacting enrollment. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Strauss. The Ad Hoc Committee on Governance is chaired by me, and we met two times since the last regular board meeting in December, once on January 15, 2015, and a second time on February 5, 2015. I have provided the full board and other university leaders who joined the committee for our discussion draft minutes of those meetings, as these discussions concern the chair's items that we are considering for second reading today. Thank you for all those who participated in preparing those minutes in a timely fashion, particularly Linda Odom. Thank you very much for that work. From the original proposals accepted for a first reading in the December meeting, the committee has produced recommendations for three standalone board policies and five amendments to the board bylaws: a records retention policy, a travel reimbursement policy, and a presidential succession policy. Bylaw amendments concern a proposed change in the elections procedures, provisions concerning presidential housing, additional provisions concerning indemnification, the addition of a description of the position and duties of the board liaison, and additions to the section concerning the university president that concern service on external boards. Each of these proposals each of these proposals emerged as sensible alterations to the original items presented for first reading. At the February 5th meeting, the committee began its consideration of an interest disclosure policy, what we have previously discussed as a conflict of interest policy. General Counsel Jerry Blakemore and his OGC colleague Greg Brady provided a presentation on the evolution of conflict of interest policies for public university governing boards and distributed a booklet prepared on the subject by the Association of Governing Boards, the leading agency that assists boards in these and other matters. The policy will be the subject of the committee's subsequent meetings, along with other policies we have previously described as Category B and C matters. Category A matters are being considered for action today. The final subject of the committee's February 5th meeting concerned an update I provided on progress of developing a board self-assessment protocol. This was one of the original purposes of the ad hoc committee. The General Counsel and President's Office has assisted the committee in identifying a highly credible process used by the Association of Governing Boards, who has an evaluation instrument and process for reporting results that is interactive and proven to satisfy boards across a variety of college and university profiles. Mr. Blakemore provided a summary of the services of the AGB which they can provide in this regard, and I indicated the cost of such services. There were no objections to moving forward with this process from the committee members, but I'm still in the process of consulting with other members of the board. If this is something the board elects to do, I will provide a report on the scope and cost of the process at the next committee meeting and provide that information to the full board as well. I'm grateful to the committee and the university leaders who have dedicated many hours to attend and participate in these meetings. The OGC particularly deserves our collective appreciation. That's the Office of the General Counsel, for all of those who don't know what OGC is, deserves our collective appreciation. We have had lively and intelligent discussions, even though at times it's gotten a bit boring. Policy isn't the most exciting conversation if you're not concerned with the particulars of board procedure. But we've stayed focused on producing final recommendations for the board, and we have more work to do. But the policies are a good start to our efforts to improve the performance of the board, which is one of my major priorities as the chair of this board. So that concludes my report. The Illinois Board of Higher Education, I believe on that we hear from Mike Mann or Dr. Baker. Mike Mann's not here. Do we have a report?
The board hasn't met, but the presidents and chancellors have been meeting, and we've had IBHE representation at those meetings, Chairman. And as you might suspect, the major topic of discussion has been around the budget at the state level and how the universities can work to address that. There's clear concern about a 31% reduction in the proposed reduction from the governor. And so each of the presidents and chancellors is now going to their relative appropriations hearings. We've had some last week, we'll have some this week, and I will be in Springfield next week with my first round of appropriations hearings. So we're working actively to show the case that higher education is a tremendous economic and engine and benefits society in the state, and see if we can make some progress there. I think we're going to have some successes.
Thank you, Dr. Baker. The University Civil Service Merit Board has a representative from this board that serves on the Merit Board, and that is Trustee Robert Marshall. Trustee Marshall, do we have a report?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
The 195th meeting of the State University Civil Service Merit Board was held on February 25th, 2015. Officer elections were held with Chair Montgomery, Vice Chair Hacera, Executive Board members Cole and Mitchell being re-elected. The new secretary replacing our retiring secretary is Ms. Anna Johnson. There were two discharge hearings heard with the results of one termination and one combination, suspension and demotion. Update reports from the State University Civil Service Advisory Committee and the Human Resource Directors Advisory Committee were given. At that point, we seemed to run out of a quorum. So the agenda was not finished, and hopefully we will have a fuller report at our next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Marshall. The Northern Illinois University Foundation report is presented by the Vice President of Advancement, Mike Malone. Mr. Malone, do you have a report?
Yes, I do. Thank you. Pleased to report that one of our prime metrics, being cash in the door, that we are up $1.6 million compared to the same time last year. And I'd just like to thank the staff in the alumni and development area. They're working, as most of the university is right now, shorthanded. We're down to our lowest staffing levels in 10 years. So they're taking on some additional jobs, as is the case throughout the university, but proud of their results this year. We had our annual Red and Black on February 21st. We had approximately 200 email addresses from the 440 attendees, because many registered as couples, so there was one email address as opposed to two. We sent out surveys to those 200 and received 93 responses, which is a pretty great response for a email survey. And I'll give you some of the highlights there. They were asked to rate most on a 4-box scale from most important to unimportant, some of the program categories. And not surprisingly, I think student presentations got a top 2-box rating of 99%. That's a keeper. We kind of knew that, and students have become increasingly a more important part of the Red and Black program, as well as being seated at almost all of the tables. We had students in attendance. Award presentations received a 92%. Very important response, which was gratifying. We've been trying to really get the essence of those awards out through videos and keep the actual remarks to a motivational minimum. Networking among alums was the other one that scored in the positive territory on the top 2-box responses, with 64%. None of the other categories reached that level. Perhaps not a surprise to you, access to the administration was not one of the top gaining categories, so nobody really wants to talk to us. Location, we asked about, this was our first year in Chicago, so we asked future Red and Black Chicago suburbs or DeKalb. Chicago got a 72% response, favorable, suburbs 17 and DeKalb 11. Would you attend the Red and Black again next year? Received a 100% positive response, so we're very gratified by that as well. And that concludes my report.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Muir.
Mike, I'd like to be number 94 in response. And I would say your a cappella presentation was 101. It was an outstanding event, and I had the pleasure of really, I think I was one of the co-chairs of the first Red and Black, and we really have made great progress, and the environment is absolutely exquisite. So congratulations to you, to your board, to all those in the foundation. And I think also recognition to Jamie Simmons and Harry Simmons, absolutely, who really have brought a new dimension with their son, his first
Grant,
really have brought a professionalism to the Red and Black that takes us beyond the academic types of usual black tie events. So it was a great event.
It's very much a board-led programming and planning. We have about nine board members, I think, now on the Red and Black Committee.
Yeah, I mean, it was wonderful. So,
really
so I'm not number 94 on the responses.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
May I?
Sure.
You are typical of you. You never mentioned the most important act of the night. Your singing was marvelous. It truly was.
I'm getting out now. So. Yeah. Thank you.
And by the way, that young lady, the lead person,
Melissa Dye.
Melissa Dye. Watching her on stage really brought back the memories because Melissa went to high school with my daughter.
Yeah.
And seeing her again on stage, what a great feeling and marvelous reaction to all her accomplishments.
We're actually very proud of that program element because it was an actual demonstration of alumni mentoring.
Oh, absolutely.
And it happened on the results were visible in the production and on stage, and we felt that was something that the Alumni Association and alumni in general, in particular, are trying to encourage more of, and it was great to be able to give it a spotlight.
Absolutely. I hope we can continue in some form that way because it really connects everybody. But best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Is this your last meeting here?
Well, technically, no. I retire June 30th. Catherine Squires will be here May 1st officially, but is planned another visit in advance to get again to meet more people.
Great.
and get grounded.
I'm glad because that would give us time. You and I have a chance to catch up too.
All
thank
right.
you.
Thank you very much,
Mike. The only requirement I make is that you be here at the June meeting.
Okay.
So that we have an opportunity.
I will take that.
I don't know if Catherine plans on giving the report, but we would like an opportunity to say some things about your service.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. This is the time in which the Northern Illinois University Alumni Association provides a report. I don't know if I see Vice President Maddie. We'll hear from him in some other format. I may have an email from him that I haven't opened yet. The last report. The Northern Illinois Research Foundation, I believe we hear from Vice President Leslie Rigg.
Am I on? Yep. The NERF board met on Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. The board heard updates regarding the NIU and NERF master IP agreement, which was finalized in September. And that allows NIU IP to be transferred to NERF for the purpose of licensing and commercialization. We also asked Rena Cachones to give a presentation to the NERF board on the pending, at that time it was pending, Iger Lab transaction, similar to the one that she gave here at the committee meeting on February 26th. The board approved a resolution to move the transaction forward, and we will be updating them on that at our next meeting. The next meeting's on April 28th, 2015. Just to highlight a couple of the things that were facilitated through NERF this year, one of our researchers in engineering was successful with an NSF I-Corps proposal. This is a commercialization proposal. Chem Nova, one of our faculty's spin-off companies, provided funding for GA ships back into chemistry along with a cash payment. As I said, we did sign the master IP agreement between NIU and NERF, and this lays the foundation for further technology and IP advancement. NERF and NIU joined into a three-way agreement with Invictus, a company outside of Illinois, to further develop one of our promising technologies associated with infant incubators. It's very exciting work. NERF facilitated the acquisition of Iger Lab, which some of you will have heard about. And we're working with other agreements and other technologies through the agreement that we have between NIU and NERF. And one of our technologies was also successful in receiving an SBIR grant, a commercialization grant through NSF. So it's been a very busy year for NERF indeed, but a very successful one. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Rigg. Leslie, will you be with us in June?
I hope to be alive, but not here. So I will be with us. But no, my last day will be sometime in mid-May.
So this is our chance to say thank you for your service as well. We know that you're moving on to a prestigious deanship in Calgary, is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, thank you so much for the work that you've done for the university and the time that you've spent assuming the duties of the Vice President of Research and Innovation, what you've done with that office. Obviously, your report just outlined that you've achieved a lot in the time that you've been in that role. On behalf of my colleagues, I'm sure they may have other things to say as well, but thank you for your time here at NIU. I know you've also been on the faculty since 1998.
Thank you. I think since I'm going to Canada, the appropriate salutation would be take off, eh?
Take off. Yes, Trustee Muir.
John, I'd be remiss to not speak on behalf of our permanent committee that started as an ad hoc committee and started because of the great work of Leslie and Lisa. Together, they helped create this committee into a permanent committee, and it certainly has been my joy to chair it. It's really been a pleasure, Leslie, to work with you, and certainly, you know, we always look to ourselves and we regret the loss, but we also, as a university, look to the best interests of our students and our faculty, and this is a great opportunity for you. So you go with our great anticipation for wonderful things to happen to you in the future, and we just ask that you keep in touch with us and let us know what great research projects that we may collaborate on with your university, your new university, and your old university.
Thank you so much. As John said, I've been here since 1998. I think I can say I grew up here academically, and working with you all has been a privilege and an honor, and I appreciate what I've learned. And I hope to take those lessons with me. And as you say, Trustee Muir, I will be bringing back, hopefully, many collaborations. I will not let go of NIU. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. That concludes the committee reports. And I believe the next thing for this board to do is to go into closed session. If you are a member of the public who's interested in knowing when the board comes back, I ask you to consult with Linda Odom. Linda, can you raise your hand if you want to be notified through some manner of technology when the board is reconvening? The board needs to go into closed session now, and we'll reconvene, and this is optimistic, in approximately 1 hour. We do not plan to take up, plan to take up quite a bit of business. This script is slightly needs some modification, but we do plan on taking up quite a bit of business after we come back. So this is unlike other closed session situations. May I have a motion to close the public meeting to conduct a closed session to discuss the following subjects authorized by the Illinois Open Meetings Act: personnel matters as generally described under sections 2C1, 2, 3, and 21 of the Open Meetings Act, collective bargaining matters as generally described under section 2C2 of the Open Meetings Act, litigation and risk management matters as generally described under sections 2C11 and 12 of the Open Meetings Act, property matters as generally described under sections 2C5 and 6 of the Open Meetings Act.
Motion.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Ms. Odom, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Robert Boy.
Yes.
Trustee Wheeler Coleman. Trustee Anthony Iasco.
Yes.
Trustee Robert Marshall.
Yes.
Trustee Sherilyn Muir.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mark Strauss.
Yes.
Student Trustee Paul Julian?
Yes.
Board Chair John Butler?
Yes. The motion is approved. The meeting is now closed and will be reopened at the conclusion of the board's closed session for the purpose of taking on the President's report and those matters, as well as items from the chair. Thank you.